Hey, it's Ophira, and I want to tell you about something super exciting. Because of popular demand, Ask Me Another is returning to Los Angeles with not one, but two back-to-back live shows at the Ace Hotel Theater on August 17th and 18th. We're going to have celebrity guests, live music, trivia, word games, puzzles, you name it. We've got it, and because it's live, anything can happen. Don't miss it. Information at amatickets.org.
Hey there, I'm Hannah Rosen, and I wanted to let you know that Invisibilia is back on June 1st. This season, we're asking the question, how is it that two people can look at the exact same thing and see something completely different? You can listen and subscribe to Invisibilia on the NPR One app or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
Warning, this podcast uses some unsavory language. Please be advised.
From NPR and WNYC, coming to you from the Bell House in beautiful Brooklyn, New York, it's NPR's hour of puzzles, word games, and trivia. Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. We have a great show for you. Today, we have four contestants who are returning to Ask Me Another for a second chance. One of these contestants will achieve redemption. The other three will get to lose a second time. And our special guest tonight is comedian Kathleen Madigan. She was originally a journalist, but then got into comedy because she wanted a job where there was less heckling. Our first two returning contestants will get to experience what it's like to read our inbox. Let's say hello to Sunny Farnsworth on buzzer number one. You are a sales representative for a sex toy manufacturer. Welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Good to have you back. And to refresh, you're a sales rep. But I know that you were at two big trade shows in your industry in LA. Now, I've only ever been to comic book conventions. How similar are sex toy...
Pretty similar. We have a lot of fun. The industry I work in is pretty small, so everybody knows each other. It feels almost like a high school reunion. You get to see all your friends, so...
It sounds like a friendly business, I'm just going to say.
Absolutely.
I mean, if sex toy manufacturer salespeople are like, you know, cutthroat with each other, it seems like you're missing the spirit of the industry.
Oh, for sure.
Your opponent is Scott Wotanek on buzzer number two. Scott, you work in printing and office supply wholesale, and as we learned on your last appearance, you are often mistaken for a vampire.
That's true, yes.
Welcome back.
Thanks, it's great to be here.
Scott, now you didn't mention this, that you kind of grew up in a trivia family because your father would create his own trivia and puzzles for you every Christmas?
Yeah, this is actually the last year. he prefaced it by saying, Scott's turning 30 this year, and I'm like, great, another thing that's going away when I'm 30.
What else is going to leave when you're 30?
I think my hair is starting to go. I found gray ones when I was 24 in the office mirror, and that was really depressing. And because it wasn't even my own mirror.
Yeah. Let me tell you, there's nothing sadder than an office mirror. Oh. No, yeah. It's going to get even better.
I hope so.
Yeah, it gets better and better.
Just wait till you're in your mid-40s, Scott. Everything comes back. It all comes back.
We're going to start with a trivia game called The Complaint Department. This episode isn't just a second chance for our contestants. It's a second chance for us to address some listener complaints we've received over the years.
In this game, we'll read some real corrections and complaints, but each message has one word removed. Buzz in to fill in the blank. Here we go.
Quote, I was a little horrified that NPR would make such an elementary mistake. The third capital of South Africa is, in fact, Bloemfontein, not blank, which is the biggest city in the nation and a commercial hub. Sunny.
Johannesburg?
That is correct.
A listener wrote in about a game where we asked about TV characters' professions. The question was about Ross Geller from Friends. The contestant guessed geologist, and Art Chung did not accept this answer. So then the listener wrote, Ross Geller from Friends is indeed a geologist. My PhD is also in blank, but the diploma says geology. Sunny.
Archaeology?
No, I'm sorry. That is incorrect. Scott, do you know the answer?
Paleontology?
Yeah, that's right. Russ Geller, a paleontologist.
Yeah.
Not a geologist.
No, and I guess we just found out that this guy has a misprint on his diploma. That's so weird. This listener wrote in response to a discussion about bicycle fashion, quote, only amateurs wear blank under their cycling shorts. As for time spent off the bike, well, that's personal preference. Scott.
Underwear?
Underwear is correct. Yeah.
Here's a quote. Please ask your research staff to do a little more research. Blank is not and never was a battlefield. It was where Washington's troops encamped outside of Philadelphia for a winter. Scott.
Gettysburg?
No, I'm sorry, that is incorrect. Sonny, do you know the answer?
You're
making a face as if the answer is no.
No, the answer is no.
Okay. Does anybody know the answer? Valley Forge is what we were looking for. That's right.
Yep. But to be clear, love is still a battlefield. And joke's on this person, because we don't have a research staff. Quote, you refer to the price of the HMS blank, which sank in 1912. It's actually called the RMS blank. Sonny.
Titanic.
Yes, that is correct. All right, this is your last clue. A listener responded to a game where every answer contained the word jack. The quote, there was a question, fruit that smells bad but tastes great. The puzzle host gave the answer as blank. I am not sure that is correct. Durian is the fruit that smells bad but tastes great. Sonny.
Jackfruit?
Yeah, jackfruit. I think it's interesting that of all the things that we have said incorrectly or mistaken, this particular jackfruit durian controversy about a fruit that smells bad but tastes great, the most feedback we have ever received on a question.
Well, you know how everything has gotten so politicized
these days.
That's
right. We are so...
It's a whole separate world if you're a jackfruit person. You read different news from durian people. You're in a bubble. You're in a jackfruit bubble.
It's
I understand
weird.
Why you can't get out of it.
I unfollowed a lot of durian people.
Yeah,
I'm just going to say.
You can't even talk to them. They're not even logical.
They're ridiculous.
Yeah. Ugh.
We have so many more complaints, but not enough time. I want to thank all of our listeners who share their thoughts about the show. Please keep sending us your complaints and corrections. Just send them to our email address, waitwait@npr.org. Huzzaker Archung, how did our contestants do?
They both did great. Sonny, congratulations. You're one step closer to the final round.
Coming up, pick up the homophone because this word game is calling from inside the Bell House. But first, let's check in with our contestants. Sonny, what's a word you often misuse?
I don't misuse very many words, but I am always second-guessing myself over phrases like bane of my existence and things like that, trying to make sure I'm getting it accurate.
Yep, okay. Bane of my existence is a great one right now. Scott, what's a word you often misuse?
I heavily rely on autocorrect for a lot of stuff, texts and emails. So if I see that red squiggle, I just right-click in whatever is the first word that comes up. So unfortunately, I spell wrong a lot. I type unfortunately a lot. And it's usually a...
Your story is consistent. So every answer in this game are two words or phrases that sound similar but are spelled differently. And our puzzle guru, Art Chung, is going to give us an example.
So if we said it's the cereal that's kid-tested, mother-approved, and the pumped-up item Foster the People sang about, you'd answer Kix, K-I-X, or K-I-C-K-S.
Sonny, you won the last game, so win this and you'll go to the final round. Scott, you need to win this.
I do.
Yeah. Or... something, unfortunately, will happen to you. Here we go. In this twee movie, Ellen Page is as cold to Michael Cera as a winter's day is in this U.S. state capital. Scott.
Juno.
Juno is correct, yes. The Queen of England uses this royal pronoun as her screen name when she plays video games on her gold-plated version of this console. Scott.
PSP?
It is incorrect. I'm just wondering, what's PS?
The PlayStation.
PlayStation, what? Oh, portable. PlayStation Portable.
She's on the move. She's spry.
Yeah.
Not what we were looking for. Sunny, do you know?
No, I got nothing.
That's okay. Royal pronoun was the other part of the clue we were looking for. We, as in we or we. Yep, I know. She loves Her Majesty's Mario Kart. Kenny G loves to use his instrument to woo salespeople at this classic Fifth Avenue store. Scott.
Sax.
Sax is correct. You a Kenny G fan? I'm afraid to say anything about Kenny G because people will really write in.
There's a lot of people. A lot of people really like Kenny G.
Yeah. A book genre targeted towards women and a small square piece of gum targeted toward people of all gender identities. Sunny.
Chiclet.
Chiclet, yes. It's a hit song for the band Devo, a shaky dog breed, and a small container of nitrous oxide. Sunny.
Whip it.
Yeah, that's right. Final question. The nickname of the British Broadcasting Corporation and the nickname of the tween idol with more Twitter followers than the population of his native Canada. Scott.
BBC. BB. JB. Bieber Fever.
I do like a nickname that's longer. I feel like that is the kind of rebel that I think you are, Scott. That is not the answer we're looking for. Sunny.
The Biebs? Biebs?
Our judges say yes, so we'll accept Biebs. We're looking for Beeb, but we'll take that.
Puzzler Art Chung, how did our contestants do?
It was a close game. Congratulations, Sunny. You've won both games, so you're moving on to the final round.
Coming up, we'll find out who will face off against Sunny in our final round at the end of the show. And grab your guitar and your go bag. Jonathan Colton has a music parody for the end of days. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and you're listening to Ask Me Another from NPR. We'd like to say a quick thank you and share a message from one of our sponsors, Visit St. Pete Clearwater, dedicated to being a bastion of creative culture and natural wonder in what can be a derivative world. Offering spontaneous music on the beach, played by human musicians, hosting Florida's largest pride festival, and honoring the grouper, a deceptively fine fish. Also featuring rooftop cocktail bars, sugar white sand, emerald green water, and hot orange sunsets. For more, check out visitstpeteclearwater.com. Hey, thanks so much for listening to Ask Me Another. Have you heard Up First? It's the morning news podcast from NPR. When news moves fast, it's the quick morning update on what happened and what you need to start the day. Wake up with Up First tomorrow morning by 6 a.m. Eastern Time on the NPR One app and wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Ask Me Another, NPR's hour of puzzles, word games, and trivia. I'm Jonathan Colton, here with puzzle guru Art Chung. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thanks, Jonathan. Later in our show, comedian Kathleen Madigan will join us to play a game about life on the road. But first, it's time for a game we call The Wisdom of the Crowd. Puzzlegar Archung, tell us about this concept.
Sure. The classic example of the wisdom of the crowd is having a large group of people estimate how many jelly beans there are in a jar. Even though some of them might have really way off guesses, when you take the average of everyone's guess, you find you're pretty close to the right answer.
That's an interesting concept. I can't think of any examples from history where a large group of people made a terrible decision. But joining us to test the wisdom of our crowd is another returning contestant, Andrew Kaufman. You're working on a PhD in food science. A matter of fact, I believe you've completed it.
I did this fall.
Welcome back to Ask Me Another.
Thank you very much. It's good to be back.
You are a very smart guy, Andrew. So in this game, you're going to decide whose wisdom you trust. A recent live audience that we polled here at the Bell House, or Jonathan Coulton.
Okay.
Who kind of, as a one-man house band, qualifies as a crowd.
Basically, I'm a crowd.
That's yes. Right.
People tell me that all the time.
Okay, so here we go. Jonathan Coulton, according to a corn expert at Iowa State University, how many kernels are there on an average ear of corn?
Kernels on an average ear of corn.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to figure out the surface area, roughly, of a cob of corn.
All right.
So circumference is 2 pi r, say an average of an inch over the length of corn, which tapers. Maybe an average of a one-inch radius.
Yeah.
That's a pretty thin piece of corn.
Let's say an inch because it's going to make the math easier.
Sure.
So we're talking 2 pi r is going to be 6. Ear of corn is maybe 10 inches long, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
So 60 inches surface area.
Yeah.
Kernels per square inch. Maybe 4 by 4, so 16 times 60. So 600 is 960.
960?
960 kernels.
All right.
On average.
That was brilliant math talked out loud. Okay, so Jonathan Coulton says 960. Our audience thinks the answer is 506. Andrew, who is closer to the real answer, Jonathan or the crowd?
Are we going Price is Right rules? Where without, you can't go over?
Just closest. Just closest. Yeah, you don't.
I'm going to go with the audience.
You're going to say the audience was closer. Guess what? The answer is 575. The audience was super close.
It's a smart crowd.
Yeah. Between 550 and 600 kernels on an average ear of corn, says the assistant professors and extension cropping systems specialist, I guess where they hang out and count corn kernels. Okay, Jonathan Coulton, according to the website wordcounter.net, how many words are in Harry Potter books 1 through 7 added together? Oh, that's a lot.
All right, 7 books.
Yep.
I haven't read any of these books. Don't tell anybody. Why are you so mad? We all get to decide what we read and don't read. So far. Seven books. How long is one of these books? Maybe 300 pages. More pages than 300 pages? 500 pages. What is 250 pages a word? So that's what I'm totally lost. I'm going to say 1.5 million words.
Jonathan Coulton says 1.5 million words. Our audience thinks the answer is 2,429,000. 490,000.
Not feeling so bad about my choices.
684. Andrew?
I'm going to go with Jonathan this time.
Yeah, you're right again. The answer is 1,084,170.
Wow. Hey, I did okay.
Yeah.
Didn't even read the books.
You did great. I love that our audience collectively said 2 billion. That's what they wanted to be. They were like, we just wanted another 2 billion words. JK, clearly that's the only thing she abbreviated. Jonathan Coulton, what's the longest consecutive time anyone spent in space by number of days?
Just thinking in terms of order of magnitude, I don't know if anyone has stayed longer than a year. That's possible, but I can't recall specifically hearing of anybody who stayed longer than a year. So I'm going to say a number of months. I'm going to say 9 months.
Okay.
Time enough to gestate a baby. In space.
So how many of that in days?
You're really going to make me multiply 9 times 30?
Like, do you want to say, like, yeah, 270?
Yeah, I'm going to say 270.
Okay, 270.
No, make it 275.
275. Our audience thinks the answer is 404. Andrew, who's closer to the real answer, Jonathan or the crowd?
No, I'm thinking that it's possible someone stayed up longer than a year. So I think I'll go with the audience this time.
Yeah, that was correct again. It's actually 438 days. Valerie Polyakov in Russia was up there for 438 days, but no one noticed, clearly. Okay, Andrew got them all right.
I appreciate your scientific method.
Yes, very good.
Thank you. I appreciate your being a scientist.
We are going to give you an Ask Me Another t-shirt and the shoes of a Mr. Potato Head that we found backstage.
This is so exciting.
Andrew, thank you so much for helping us out. It's the beginning of the end for our next two returning contestants who will play an apocalyptic music parody game. Let's say hello first up, Kaya Lyons on buzzer number one. You're in the process of becoming a civil rights lawyer. Nice. Now, last time you were on the show, you are someone that was eliminated based on a mistake in a game where you had to name animals in the Chinese zodiac. Yes. You said sheep, which we should have accepted as correct.
We had it on our paper as goat, and that's how I learned it. So, but sheep is actually acceptable as well. So,
thank you for coming back.
Yes, I'm happy to be here. I'm a 1991 baby, so in the moment I was confused because I had learned since kindergarten that I was year of the sheep.
Oh, you were born in the year that we said you were not born in.
I was. But I also live in Chinatown in D.C., so every day I walk past on the ground.
Oh, my God. It was like that question was built to taunt you.
It really was. It's been haunting me since November. Yeah. A lot of other things have, too, but that especially.
Yeah, really. Your opponent is Rob Martinez on buzzer number two. You work in digital marketing, and you're working on a show called Follow That Sommelier. Welcome, yeah.
Thanks.
This is a cool game, Follow That Sommelier.
Yeah, Follow That Somm. Yeah, so we meet up with somms around New York and talk to them about varietals of wine and try not to make it boring.
Okay.
You know, Pinot Noir is the little black dress of wine. So, okay. You know, it's like you can wear it anywhere. You can bring it to anything. I don't wear dresses. I do drink Pinot Noir.
I don't know why you had to, like, lay that out. All right, so are you a fan of the Pinot Noir?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay, remember, Kai and Rob, the first of you who wins two of our games will move on to the final round at the end of the show. Let's go to your first game. Your first challenge is a music parody game called The Final Countdown. Jonathan Colton, take it away.
We've taken songs about endings and rewritten the lyrics to be about apocalyptic movies and TV shows. So just buzz in to name the movie or TV show that I'm singing about. And if you get it right, you can earn a bonus point by identifying the original song. You ready?
Sure.
Okay. Here we go.
Contagious virus spreads across the land. Old society freaks. Dude awakes from a coma. Things sure changed in 4 weeks.
Rob?
28 Days Later?
Yeah, you got it. Do you know the song?
I do, but I can't think of it.
Kaya, do you know what the song is?
There's no way I know that. Nope.
Okay. So far, so good. It's All Along the Watchtower.
No worries.
Feeling a little old right now.
I was cleaning when I wrote this. There's garbage all around the scene. When I woke up this morning, found a seedling in healthy green. I met a cute robot and I went with her to the mothership. All the humans were so lazy, they eat their dinners by the sip.
Kaya.
Wally.
Wally is correct. Do you know this song?
No.
Rob, do you know this song?
No. I know it, but I just don't know it.
You guys space aliens? In disguise? It was 1999 by Prince.
Oh, damn.
Prince!
I know. I'm from Minneapolis. I should have known that and Bob Dylan. I'm disgracing an entire city.
It's okay. It's okay.
Here's your next one. Thought we had a cancer cure, but it killed almost everyone. My dog and I live in New York, where hostile mutants hate the sun. Though Charlton Heston also had the very same thing to deal with. I'll use my blood to find a cure. I won't give up because I'm Will Smith. Rob.
I Am Legend.
Yeah, that's right. I hate to even ask. Do you know the song?
99 Red Balloons.
Yeah, that's right.
I just like the line, live in New York where hostile mutants hate the sun.
Yeah, it's just like regular New York. Here's your next one. It's the end of the world, ask a Mayan. There's tsunamis and earthquakes, no lying. It's the end of the world, ask a Mayan or John Cusack. Kaya.
2012
is correct. Do you know the song?
It's The End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine by R.E.M.
Yeah, that's correct.
You did it.
I guess I don't have much ambition. Girlfriend is fed up with my way. Zombies roam tonight. I won't let them take a bite. London hero on the rise. Kaya.
Is it The Walking Dead?
It is not The Walking Dead, I am sorry to say. Rob, do you know the answer?
Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead, you got it. For a bonus point, do you know the song?
I see the na-na-na. I know that.
Yeah, you know how it goes. You can sing it.
But I don't know the title.
Yeah, Kaya, do you know the song?
Is it something like Bad Moon Rising?
It's exactly like that, yeah. This is your last clue. Cold War time. Russia's on the hotline. Got the doomsday device in gear. Kubrick time. It's true we're in the war room, but you can't fight here. Rob.
Dr. Strangelove.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's closing time.
It sure is. Well done. Art Chung, how'd they do?
Congratulations, Rob. You're one step closer to the final round.
Let's go to your next game, which is all about historical souvenirs. Kaya, what's the kitschiest thing you own?
I have a collection of President Barbies.
What?
I do. Barbie runs for president every 4 years. I don't know if you guys knew this.
No.
And this year, there was a double ticket. Two females, president and vice president.
And
I own it.
Yeah? Rob, what is the kitschiest thing you own?
I have a life-size dummy that I use for stunts. For like comedy stuff, you know, when we need like a... When we need a dummy.
Right, you need something...
That's why they hired me, Rob. That's what I'm here for.
Contestants, as you know from experience, when you get kicked off this show, you are forced to exit through the gift shop where you can buy Ophira wigs, Joko bobbleheads, and Art Chung's signature underpants, known as Chundies. This game, however, is about gift shops at museums, libraries, and historical sites dedicated to famous people. I'll describe the doodads for sale. You have to identify the person the museum is dedicated to. Rob, you won the last game, so you win this, and you go right to the final round. Kaya, you need to win this, or you'll receive a parting gift of my husband's tiny spoon collection, which I have removed from our home without his knowledge. Okay, here we go. For under 10 euros, what classical composer's birthplace museum in Salzburg, Austria, sells a rubber ducky sporting a white wig? Rob.
Mozart?
Yeah, of course, yeah. What civil rights leader inspired an institution in Atlanta, Georgia, where you can be inspired to buy a mug for $9.99 that features the same phrase written in a dozen languages, including, yo tengo un sueño? Rob?
Martin Luther King Jr.?
That is correct. Yeah. The prairie sure does get cold at night. You're going to want to pick up this $50 sweatshirt that reads Walnut Grove, Minnesota, in the gift shop of that town's museum, dedicated to what author? Kaya, I felt like you knew this one from the first sentence. Saw your face. What do you got?
Laura Ingalls Wilder.
That is correct.
I've been there.
You've been there.
I have been there. Yes.
And?
And it's just a little house on the prairie.
It is just a little house on the prairie.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of Anne Hathaway? Yeah, we mean the 16th century one, of course. For £12, you can buy a bottle of Anne Hathaway's bath and shower creme at the Stratford-upon-Avon Museum dedicated to what playwright?
William Kaya. Shakespeare.
William Shakespeare is correct, yes. This is your last clue. There's no place like Who's Museum in Grand Rapids, Minnesota, where you can buy for $10.50 plus tax a pair of ruby slipper earrings.
Is it Judy Garland?
Kaya is correct. Judy Garland. Puzzle Guru Archung, how did our contestants do?
Kaya, your Minnesota roots came in handy. You tied it up.
You're telling me.
We're tied one game apiece, so we're going to go to a quick game three. I'm going to give you a category, and you'll go back and forth, naming things that fall into that category. The first contestant to mess up by giving a wrong answer, repeating an answer, or taking too long will be eliminated. Buzz in to answer first. Here's your category. Name the 11 most expensive properties on a classic Monopoly board. Rob, you are first.
Park Place.
Park Place is correct. Kaya.
The Reading Railroad.
I'm sorry, the railroads are not one of the most expensive properties. The remaining answers were Boardwalk, Pennsylvania Avenue, North Carolina Avenue, Pacific, Marvin Gardens, Ventnor, Atlantic, Illinois, Indiana, and Kentucky. I'm sorry, we're going to have to say goodbye to Kaya again. Rob, congratulations, you're moving on.
It's settled. Our finalists are Sunny and Rob. They'll face off in our final round at the end of the show. And Ask Me Another is hitting the road. We are going to give the Liberty Bell a new crack. That's right. We're headed to Philadelphia for a live show. We'll be at the Keswick Theater on February 24th. Tickets and information on how to be a contestant at amatickets.org. Coming up, Don't Get Mad Again. Comedian Kathleen Madigan is here, and she'll play a game about life lessons learned as a touring comedian against a surprise opponent. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and you're listening to Ask Me Another from NPR. Support for Ask Me Another and the following message is brought to you by Blue Rider Press, publisher of Chuck Klosterman 10, a highly specific, defiantly incomplete history of the early 21st century by cultural critic and journalist Chuck Klosterman. Chuck Klosterman 10 features essays on pop culture, ethics, sports, and politics with new footnotes and never-before-seen bonus material. Available wherever books are sold. Learn more at chuckklostermanauthor.com.
This is NPR's Ask Me Another. I'm Jonathan Colton, here with puzzle guru Art Chung. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. Soon we'll find out which of our contestants, Sunny or Rob, will be today's big winner. But first, it's time to welcome our special guest. She's a comedian who's on tour 300 days of the year. Her new Netflix special is called Bothering Jesus. Please welcome Kathleen Madigan. Kathleen, welcome to Ask Me Another. You know,
we
have a few things in common. You are one of seven kids. I'm actually one of six kids. So I want to know, what's it like to have that extra sibling?
Well, that would be my youngest brother. Oh. Yeah, St. Patrick, if you ask my mother. That's the problem. Like, he was born too long after the rest of us and can do no wrong. Like, he could literally set the neighborhood on fire, and my mom would say, well, they shouldn't have parked there. And it's like, you know, it should be a group and then no more.
So, you know, this is perfect because your family is a huge source of material in your act. Do they come out to see you often?
Oh, yes, if there's a free ticket anywhere. Are you kidding? Like every special, but it's fun because they do participate.
So when they come to your shows afterwards, do they say, oh, I really like that one about me, Kathleen, you're such a superstar? Are they supportive and lift you up?
Oh, yeah. There was one point I was going to do the Tonight Show, and I told my dad, this whole set is kind of jokes about you. And he was so excited. I can't wait to tell everybody else, and oh, this is so exciting. And at the last minute, they said, you know what? The Olympics are starting. Could you just do Olympic jokes? I said, sure. And I called. He goes, it's not going to be about me. And I go, no, sorry, Jack. I've never seen anyone so devastated. He's like, well, can you get on there again after this and then redo all those jokes? I mean, I've told everybody. How am I going to untell people? I go, you know, I don't know how you communicate at your age, what goes on, but you need to send a pigeon out with a note. And tell people, it's not about you, Jack. It's not about
right.
you.
I love it. He was like, can you just get back on the Tonight Show and do the set about Dad?
Yeah, and I did. That's the crazy part. See, that's why Patrick will still be better than me, but I'm gaining on him. I'm gaining.
Do any of your other siblings, of the other six, go, you know, oh, Kathleen's very funny, but I'm the real comedian in the
Patrick.
House. Patrick.
Yes. Yes, and he is funny. He is really funny. And he wrote one joke, and I did it on Letterman, and I will never hear the end of it, because I said, all right, I'll give you $50 for that line. And he goes, all right, $50, but I want credit. I go, you don't get credit on Letterman, Pat. There's not a thing that says, Kathleen Madigan's jokes were written by so-and-so. And I've never lived it down that he's now the joke writer. Yes,
right.
Because
right.
one joke out of 28 years. Sorry, Pat, that's not a job.
Now, I don't have the numbers on this, but it feels like comedians come from two places, Canada or the Midwest.
All right. Midwest, yay. St. Louis, yay.
What do you think it is about the Midwest that produces such great comedy brains?
Like, we have an underdog attitude that makes us more observers rather than participants. Like, people that are from cool cities are actually participating in their lives.
Yes.
And we're just sitting there going, why the fuck are we here? Like, I don't. In St. Louis, I'm like, Dad, the arch, instead it was a gateway. That meant to keep going. It didn't mean get through the arch and sit your ass down. Like, you're supposed to keep going. I think we just never came from the cool spot. So we're sort of an underdog mindset. Literally more of an observer, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of how Canadians feel. Like, we observe America, and then we comment on it.
Yes, yeah. As I used to say, it was Canada, to me, was like our attic. Like, you forget it's up there, but then when you get up there, you're like, wow, look at all this shit. I totally... There's people up there. There's cities. They're smarter than us.
So you grew up in an Irish Catholic family, and your latest special is called Bothering Jesus. So why did you call it that?
Growing up in St. Louis, honestly, I thought being Catholic was being Christian until you go to the Deep South in the States, and then they make it very clear to you those are not the same things.
No.
But it's not the words, it's the tone. When they'll go, well, are you Christian? And I go, well, I'm Catholic. And they're like, well, we're Christian now. I'm like, oh, okay, I thought we were on the same team, Team Jesus, but clearly I've joined a cult you don't approve of, which is fine. But throughout the years, like, I didn't think that there are big differences. And, like, my Christian friends, I was always shocked and amazed, a little bit envious of their direct relationship with Jesus. Like, anything. Well, the dryer broke, so I said a prayer to Jesus. I just unplugged it. I'm going to give him 2 days. Maybe he's busy. I'm going to see if he can get a miracle. I'm like, as a Catholic, my brain is like, you can't go to Jesus about the dryer? I mean, no. In a Catholic school, I was given a laundry list of people to contact. But that's what the nun said. You're not to bother Jesus. I was not right. supposed to be bothering Jesus. You can speak to your guardian angel. He's sitting right here, Kathleen, all day long. Or you could say a prayer to the saint in charge of whatever it is you're so upset about, Kathleen. You can even speak to Jesus' mother. Say a Hail Mary, try to go to the back door to get the mother to pressure the son to do what you want. But unless it was life or death, we were not to be bothering Jesus. And I still, to this day, like, I think, well, I'd really like, well, I can't speak to him. So that, he's a CEO. That's the way it was presented. Somebody ate your lunch. You don't go to the CEO. You go to human resources with that. There's a hierarchy here.
Kathleen, we have so much more to talk about your life. But I'm going to ask you right now, are you ready for an Ask Me Another challenge?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Kathleen, we didn't want this to be easy on you. We recruited a surprise opponent to play against you in this game. And keeping in today's theme of returning contestants, please welcome back to Ask Me Another, comedian Lewis Black.
This is already not fair. It's already not fair. He went to Yale. I went to Edwardsville. I mean, come on.
I went to a drama school. Well, I'm like, it's like two steps above mime school.
Jonathan Colton also went to Yale, just so you know.
Oh, my God. As a Midwest person, I'm not even kidding. I thought those places were closed. I thought they were only in movies. Like, you might as well say, I went to Narnia, and I would believe that.
It looks very, the architecture is very similar, actually.
Yeah, that's what I feel like.
Lewis Black, welcome back to Ask Me Another. Now, you, Kathleen and Lewis, you've known each other for a long time. How long?
25, 26.
25 lifetimes.
Yeah.
About 25 years.
25 years. Friends that whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even know how, because we didn't have cell phones. I must have really given a crap to talk to him. Because we had pigeons and...
Our letter our correspondence through letters.
Yeah.
That was going to
happen.
Dear
Lewis, I've contracted scurvy. I don't know if the ship will make it to the new land.
Now, Kathleen, I don't know if you know this, but when Lewis was on our show, he said that you were the person that helped him with the evolution of his act, because when he was first working on what we know as Lewis Black's signature style, you were the one that said it has to have modulations and different levels. You can't just be yelling all the time and really...
Well, it wasn't like... You probably could be... As a Midwest person, he's startling. Like, we don't talk like that. We don't act like that. I mean, we may agree or may think those things, but nobody just starts screaming. And he was like, yeah, all right.
Kathleen, has Lewis Black ever given you any performance or, I don't know, writing advice?
Yeah, he's given me good advice. I'm not sure that I acted upon it, but... I'm not comfortable with silence because I am not of the theater world. I started comedy in bars and there's drunks and sometimes I do rush too much because I just wanted to
go laugh.
And he's like, you already have them. You should just like slow down. So I try, but I mean, you've seen it's probably not really working, but it's good advice. It's good advice if you can take it. But
yeah, my mother said, she's very funny. She talks too fast. That was what Mom had to say.
And then I say, you got to keep up, Jeanette. It's not that fast.
Now, you two travel together. You've toured all around the world. And, Lewis, you do a cruise.
I did a cruise.
You did a cruise. How many
you
times?
You do that a couple of times. A
couple times. And, Kathleen, you were on that cruise?
Both of them.
Both of them? So it is clear that you've toured together throughout the world. So we have a quiz for you about life on the road. Buzz in to answer. The winner is going to receive an Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube and a 30-gallon drum of Purell. Okay, here's your first question. What is the single dirtiest object in a hotel room when you're not in it? Kathleen.
Bedspread.
Good answer, but not the dirtiest. Can you steal, Lewis?
The countertop in the bathroom.
Also a good answer. Both those things comparatively are fine.
It's the rug, I bet.
No, it's the remote control.
Oh. Well, I'm not holding that.
And it's the problem is that the remote was found with the highest amount of bacteria, because one theory is that people go straight from the bathroom to the television.
No. The whole concept of that could be the dirtiest thing makes you wonder what they're doing with the remote.
That's right. Sure does. Here's the next question. What U.S. airport is the subject of numerous conspiracy theories thanks to a prominently placed Freemason plaque, a series of mysterious underground tunnels, and a bizarre mural featuring a soldier in a gas mask under a rainbow?
I know exactly what it is.
Yes, Kathleen.
He'll never get this. He's not a conspiracy.
No,
I drink boxes of wine and go deep in the internet. This would be Denver, Colorado.
Yes.
Yes. And I will update everyone. They took the gas mask painting out. But check out the floors. They forgot to fix the floors.
Which of these 24/7 restaurant franchises has the most locations? Is it Waffle House, Denny's, or IHOP? Lewis.
Waffle House.
That is correct. Yes. All right, so I have to say, when I'm on the road, the restaurant that I am happy to see is Perkins. What do you like?
I like a P.F. Chang's.
Reliable? Reliable?
Oh, listen to Yale. Thrown up. We were talking.
It's a little high class.
We were talking IHOP, Waffle House, and you went P.F. Chang's. But Lewis's real road love is Cracker Barrel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm also a big Cracker Barrel fan. Yeah.
Lewis has some furniture on his deck.
You got a couple of rocking chairs?
Oh, I got some rocking chairs.
Fancy New York apartment, but the deck is littered with Cracker Barrel.
Final clue. What is the most popular car color in the world?
Oh.
Lewis.
Oh. Look at you thinking you know
blue.
This.
Blue? That is incorrect. Kathleen,
no.
Can you steal?
Yeah. That's my favorite color.
Well, Shorty said that's not blue. Lou, no one has a blue
Green?
Car.
That is
yeah,
also
really.
Incorrect. Kathleen,
no.
Can you steal?
Brown?
I'm going to say black.
Black, incorrect. Lewis, can you steal?
Oh.
Green, blue, what? How many colors? Yellow?
Incorrect.
This is from a man who doesn't own a car.
Kathleen, one
white.
More. White is correct.
Oh.
It is the most popular color in the world. Puzzlegur Archung, how did our special guest do?
Congratulations, Kathleen. You won, and ask me another Rubik's Cube.
Thank you so much for coming, Lewis Black. And Lewis is on his Rant White and Blue tour. Kathleen Madigan's latest Netflix special is Bothering Jesus, and information on her Bothering Jesus tour is at kathleenmadigan.com. Give it up one more time for Kathleen Madigan and Lewis Black. Now it's time to crown our big winner. Let's bring back our finalist, Sunny Farnsworth, who says that people who work in the sex toy industry are very friendly. And Rob Martinez, who owns a dummy that he throws off buildings for comedy. Puzzler Archung, take it away.
Thanks, Ophira. Sunny and Rob, your final round is called Categories to the Letter. In this round, I'll give you a category and a letter. You tell us the only item in that category that has that letter in it. For example, if I said the only U.S. president's last name with the letter X, you'd answer Nixon. You only have a few seconds to give me that answer, and we're playing this round like a penalty shootout. The contestant who scores the most points will be our big winner. Your prize is an Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube signed by Kathleen Madigan and Lewis Black, and a spork that's been in Ophira's purse for 2 years. We flipped a coin backstage, and Sunny is going first. Here we go. Sunny, it's the only chess piece with a letter A in it.
Pawn.
That is correct. Rob, the only U.S. coin containing the letter K.
Nickel.
Correct. Sunny, the Great Lake with the letter T in it. 3 seconds. I'm sorry, we were looking for Ontario. Rob, a classic 5-card poker hand with the letter Y. 3 seconds. I'm sorry, we were looking for Royal Flush. Sunny, the zodiac sign with the letter M, as in Mike.
Gemini.
Correct. Rob, the planet in our solar system with the letter C, And don't give us any of that dwarf planet garbage.
Mercury?
Correct. Sunny, Disney's Snow White dwarf with the letter F, as in Foxtrot.
Oh, God.
3 seconds. These are tough. The answer was Bashful. Rob, Santa's reindeer with the letter Z. We need an answer. Sorry, we were looking for Blitzen. In this tough game, we are at the halfway point, and the game is tied 2 points each. Sunny, one of the seven deadly sins with the letter W.
Wrath.
Correct. Rob, a current Summer Olympic sport with the letter Q, as in Quidditch. 3 seconds. We were looking for equestrian. Sunny, the African country with a letter J in it.
Djibouti.
Correct. Rob, you need to get this question right, or Sunny wins. The noble gas with the letter X.
Xenon?
That is correct. We're on the last question for each of you. Sunny, if you get this right, you're a win. The only U.S. state containing the letter Z.
Arizona.
Correct. Congratulations. You're a winner.
All right, that was an insane game. Well done, both of you. Congratulations, Sunny. You're our big winner. And that's our show. Ask Me Another's puzzle guru is Art Chung.
Hey, my name anagrams to Narc Thug.
Our house musician is Jonathan Colton.
Thou Jolta Cannon.
Our puzzles were written by Sean Kennedy, David Levinson Wilk, and senior writer Karen Lurie. Ask Me Another is produced by Mike Katziff, Travis Larchuk, Julia Melfi, Denny Shin, Ramel Wood, and our intern Toya Singh, along with Steve Nelson and Anya Grunman. We are recorded by Damon Whittemore, Noriko Akabe, and David Hurtgen. Ask Me Another was created by Eric Newsom and Jesse Baker. We'd like to thank our home in Brooklyn, New York, the Bell House.
Hot Heel Blues.
And our production partner, WNYC. I'm Haripe Begonias.
Ophira Eisenberg.
And this was Ask Me Another from NPR. Hey, if you've listened this far, why not go the extra mile and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts? Your comments provide valuable feedback for us, and it helps other people find us too. So for information on new episodes, upcoming live shows, and extra games, be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. And who knows, maybe you could win a Rubik's Cube. Thanks. Next time on Ask Me Another, Project Runway's Tim Gunn joins us to play a game inspired by his famous catchphrase, make it work.
Tim, I want to perform a popular dance where I shake my butt.
Make it twerk.
Yeah.
Listening audience, there are no words for me to describe what just happened. Join me, Ophira Eisenberg, for NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and Trivia.